This morning at about 10 o'clock, there's going to be a press conference announcing a really, really good campaign that's going to help Chicago police officers. As you know, they are in desperate need of COVID-19 screening and testing, plus some basic safety supplies, protective gear, and equipment. And there is a new campaign that's being formed that's ready to announce this morning at 10 o'clock and take off. And let's see, what's it going to be called? It's going to be called Bank the Blue. That's what it's going to be called. And with us to talk about that, one of the people behind the campaign, he'll be at the press conference this morning at 10 o'clock, and it's Dr. Nidal El-Baridi. Dr. Baridi, Dr. El-Baridi, good to have you with us this morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. And before we get to this campaign, let's tell a little bit of your story, because you have a very interesting story to tell. And before you became a instructor at the Harvard Medical School and went on to great things in your profession, you were a young man who had a lot of physical problems yourself. And this is fascinating to me, because I know now you are doing triathlons and marathons, and you're in great shape. Talk about what happened to you as a young man.
Good morning, Bob. So thanks very much for that very nice introduction. I was a European kid. I was born in Serbia, in Belgrade, and I was an active rower. And one day, coming back from the practice, I was hit by a car, and a vehicle that struck me caused a damage that would probably mark the rest of my life. I suffered what's called an epidural hematoma, essentially, in lay terms, a brain bleed, and came out of it on top by convincing myself, despite all medical advice, that I would be better. And I indeed have followed my own path without regard for anything and everybody told me. And I was 14 years old at that time. Obviously, I came on top, as you said, by not only now competing in my marathons and triathlons, but obviously going into a higher education. So the impetus to go into the higher education always involved and evolved around helping others, especially the ones who have had chronic pain, which is something that I have had my entire life, and that included pain suffered from the headaches and neck pains and so forth after the accident.
And the other fascinating thing about your life, and maybe this is one of the reasons that you're going to announce this program here this morning at 10 o'clock to help the Chicago Police Department, you were working at Mercy Hospital back in November of 2018 when that mass shooting took place. A Chicago police officer and three others, including the perpetrator, were killed. How much did you actually witness? You were on duty then. Did you see any of that, actually?
So, correct, yes. I am an anesthesiologist by basic training and an interventional pain medicine physician. Actually, I was there that night, and I wish that events did not unfold as they did, but the way that I can best describe it is that it was basically the end of the day. We were wrapping up last of the cases in the main operating room when an announcement was made through the PA system that nobody ever wants to hear in their life. And at first, we were all stunned, didn't know what to do, and immediately following that announcement, people scurried in every which way direction. I happened to be in an area that was taking care of people in a post-operative phase of recovery, and I quickly routed the nurses, and we evacuated patients from the main operating room into the central corridor. And by that time, a lot of police officers, a lot of undercover police officers, SWAT team was arriving, and obviously, nobody knew exactly what was happening, and my immediate gut instinct, which is what a basic training of an anesthesiologist is to see who I can help. And at that point, an announcement was made over the radio, over the loudspeaker, stating that there was a code inside the emergency room department. And I don't know how and why I did this, but whenever something like that is announced, everybody rushes towards the code was called, and I essentially scurried through the line of police officers and everybody, and eventually ended up in the emergency room department and encountered the gruesome scene of blood being spilled all over the floor and people panicking, and you know, there was so I've, you know, without violating the HIPAA violation, I would just say that I've seen a lot.
Yes, you've seen more than anybody should ever see, and that stays with you. And I know that's in the back of your mind as you join a group of Chicagoans announcing this morning a program called Bank the Blue to respond to the immediate and urgent needs of Chicago police officers in this time of crisis. Tell us about this campaign, what you're going to do, and how all of us can help.
So the segue into how I became interested into this very moment is actually stemmed from that accident. It was my impression and my opportunity to give something back to the Chicago Police Department and all the people who are in the public sector. The courage, the bravery, the camaraderie, and the calmness, most importantly, the Chicago Police Department exhibited during that interaction, which was something that I wish I never see again, is really what gave us an impetus to do something in the opposite way for them. So what we at Loop Medical Center, which is an office at 1921 South Michigan Avenue in Chicago, will be offering our screening for Chicago police officers and an opportunity for them to bypass the havoc of not knowing what to do in a moment if they think they have an exposure. So we'll be offering a hotline where a Chicago police officer can announce themselves, make a phone call, and then having a protected time where they would be invited to the clinic to get properly evaluated based on the triage, which would be done by the telephone first.
So you're going to provide free screenings and tests and also some supplies that are much needed now as well, right?
Correct. So every time, obviously, Chicago police officers will arrive, we will give them a mask, a pair of gloves, and hand sanitizer, and things that are much needed in a line of duty. And, of course, based on their symptoms and based on their medical history, we would direct them either to follow the basic CDC guidelines to either quarantine themselves at home or offer a swab test, which will be then properly sent to the authorities.
Hopefully you'll get the word out at that press conference you're going to have this morning, and you'll be hearing about this on the news later today. Are you going to be directly trying to work with the Chicago Police Department so all the officers know that this is available to them, Doctor?
Correct, yes. So the line, which will be provided a little bit later during the day, will be essentially a direct pipeline to myself and my staff. So absolutely, this is not going to be a bypassing number of phone calls. It will be essentially an opportunity for a police officer or a person that is in need to immediately get hold of me and provide help needed.
And by the way, if folks want to make hand sanitizer, I know you have the right formula. What should we use to make our own hand sanitizer? Because it's hard to find on the store shelves.
That's a very good question. So there was an FDA-approved memo which came out a couple of days ago, which basically called for an emergency ability for pretty much everyday citizens to make hand sanitizer. So there are two important concepts whenever making things to sanitize with. Something that is called bacteriostatic, just like the name suggests, stunts the bacteria and other pathogens, whereas something that is bactericidal destroys it on contact. So in order to make a proper bactericidal solution, which is needed to kill bacteria, virus, fungi, one would have to have a minimum of 70% alcohol within a solution. And in order to make the solution properly, a careful amount would have to be mixed. And we will provide that in detail so that listeners can have a visible representation of what I will be suggesting. But in addition to an alcohol, which would be mixed with a some sort of an emollient, something that would be that would provide essentially moisturizing effect to the hands, because alcohol by itself is a very drying agent, I will... that would be probably the best solution.
And, Doc, I know a lot of people want to help you help the Chicago police. And, again, this campaign that's going to be announced today is called Bank the Blue. If somebody wants more information on this, if somebody wants to help by making masks, or if businesses want to donate any supplies, what's the best way to get in touch? Is it a phone number? Is it a website?
So a website will be probably, for the time being, until more announcements are made, bigmouthmarket.com, and then Bank the Blue. So it's B-I-G, mouth, M-O-U-T-H, market.com, Bank the Blue. That will probably give the most up-to-date information, and on that website, there will be a phone number which will be most suited for people to call in and donate. But we're so grateful that the response from the initial pre-interest, if you will, was overwhelming. And I'm not going to be surprised if we have more supplies than we need at some point.
That'd be a good problem to have. And we're grateful to you for your work. Dr. Nidal El-Baridi, thanks for sharing with us. And we look forward to hearing more about Bank the Blue later today.
Thank you, Bob. Really appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too, sir.